All right.
Proverbs chapter 11. Let's read verse 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Though hand join in hand. Let me read you Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Let me read this to you. It says, Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. All right, so it's talking about people banding together in sin. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. When does sin become the judgment of God? When does it change? You know, we're living in evil times. And we talk about the judgment of God coming any time. Mm-hmm. We expect it. Yep. So we're just going to kind of look at this for a few minutes here. Let me just say this to you. After 6,000 years of human history, we can observe that there's a cycle of sin as it operates in the human race. We know how this deal works. I mean, we shouldn't be ignorant of it. Ain't no excuse for being ignorant about how sin is and how it works in a life, in a nation, in a church, and as the whole human race at all together. There's a progression of sin from its beginning in the individual, because that's where it begins. For by one man, sin entered into the world. The Bible says so. And it always starts that way. The cycle starts that way. It don't start in a group. It starts in an individual. The overall view, if you look at the whole picture, beginning to end, the creation, God's whole work on the earth here, the overall view is that sin began with one person and has brought death and destruction upon the entire human race. But now the grand finale for the human race as a whole hadn't happened yet, but we can see it coming into view. And the whole world knows that it's not far off.
That's right.
It's going to come to an end. Sin is going to be the death of the human race.
Yes, it is.
The end of the world. Everybody talks about the end of the world. And what's going to cause it? It ain't going to be nuclear holocaust. And it ain't going to be any Hitler or anybody like that. Sin is going to be the end of the world as we know it. And as God made it here. I was thinking about it today. God made man, put him in the garden, said it's good. Then he put the woman with him and said it's very good. And look what man's done. 1600 and some odd years later, God said it repented him that he had made man on the earth, and he destroyed them all. And now we're down the road 4,000 years from there, plus. And look. God look on this earth, would he say, would he be able to say in any way it's good? No. What has messed it up? Man. Man and his sin have turned what God made good into this disaster, this death trap, this runaway train that's fixing to destroy everything. We can step down from the overall view and look at the nations throughout all of history, and we can see the complete cycle of sin in nation after nation after nation. We can see these big empires and civilizations that rose and fell and rose and fell. And we can see their beginnings and we can see their endings. We can see their rise and we can see their fall. That's why history is important.
Yes.
That's why any kid that says you don't like history ought to slap him around a little bit and make him understand. It's one of the most important things that you need to learn is history.
Yes.
Those who are ignorant of history are bound to what? They're doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
And so we stay ignorant. Why do you think they're wanting to run, get away, do away with all the statues, all the history? They don't know. They don't know George Washington from Abbott Costello.
That's right.
Yep.
They have no idea who the man was. You say, well, it's about the Civil War and it's about racism. No, it ain't.
No.
What? They're throwing down George Washington's statue in Columbus, and they're throwing down even statue like Grant, who, you know, and Lincoln.
Bill Monroe's statue.
So, you know.
Bill Monroe.
Bill Monroe. They're a bunch of animals. They're a bunch of uneducated, ignorant animals. Who are being paid by some evil people who want to destroy your country and take your freedom and destroy you. People wake up and see that, but nobody is interested in history. Don't seem like. Very few are. But we can see their rise and we can see their fall. We can observe their moral state in their beginning. It's all written. History is written. They can tear down the statues and they can do everything else, but they can't erase history. We can observe their moral state in the beginning. We can observe their moral state as they approach their end. And it's always the same. It's always the same. Their moral state just before they collapse is always the same. Just what you're seeing right around you now. What you're seeing on the news. What you see in the entertainment. What you see in the churches. What you see people in their consensus. They're all their hands joined together in the things they care about, the things they believe, the things they're fighting for, the things they stand for. It's always the same in the last 6,000 years of human history. So this is no surprise where we're at now. We can step down even further and we can see the beginning and end of many churches through the ages and many in our own lifetime. And again, we can observe their moral state in their beginning and their moral state in their end. I've lived long enough, been a Christian long enough, been involved with enough churches that rose and fell in my lifetime. And I've watched them. And I remember what their moral state was in the beginning. And I know what their moral state was when they closed the doors. And just before they close the doors. We can come on down now to an individual level and we can all testify about people that we've known who we've seen high and then we've seen them brought low by sin. And we can also tell of people whose end we have seen and we're not surprised by. We knew it was going to happen. We knew they were going to die some horrible death. Can't live like that without it. Sin always begins in the individual. It doesn't begin corporately. That means all together, as a group. Sin don't begin like that. It begins in individual hearts. A church doesn't sin corporately before the individual members have begun to sin individually.
Right.
That's how this thing works. Yep. A nation doesn't sin corporately before its individual citizens have begun to sin individually. Nation doesn't sin. Our national sin would have never been, except for our individual sin. Sin's like cancer. It really, really is. It starts in a secret place with one cell, and then it spreads slowly at first, but faster as it spreads until it causes the death of the whole body. That's the way cancer works. That's the way sin works. It starts with a single cell. And then it spreads. And the faster it spreads, the faster it spreads. Until it destroys. It causes the death of the whole body. Brings it all to an end. Sin is likened unto leaven in the Bible. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, the Bible says. The whole lump without leaven will not stop that little bit of leaven that finds its way into the lump, but will all be leavened before long. The whole lump will be leavened unless that part that contains the leaven is removed. Or else the whole thing's gone. Leaven's a type of sin. But the cry of selfishness, it's nobody's business what I do. And it's my body, and I can do what I want to with it. And you got no right to judge me, and you got no right to tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Now that's the cry. And that's how the cancer of sin is spread from individual to individual. Because let me tell you something, that kind of logic, thinking, and that kind of selfish opinions are contagious. And they spread easily among people, especially young and old fools. They bite that worm. They take that bait. Real easy. You ain't got no right to tell me what to do. You can do as you please. Jonadab told Amnon that. You can have what you want. Man, take it. Do it. Ain't nobody got a right to tell you you can't. You're the king's son.
Yeah.
See, that's the way it always works. It's the way it always works with every one of us. So the moral law is all about how it certainly is everyone else's business, what you do when it affects other people. And it always does. Y'all stand with me in this? You following my thoughts here? Sin starts in an individual because he thinks nobody's got a right to tell him what to do, and he can do what he wants. And you know, on everybody that just tries to tell me I'm wrong, judge me. Moral law is all about the fact that it is other people's business what you do. And it is other people's business what I do. Because what I do affects other people. Moral law is to protect ourselves from one another. That's what moral law is about. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's all the law. It hangs on that right there. Well, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to do him wrong. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to hurt him in any way. You're going to be benevolent like God is. That's moral law. That's just the essence of moral law. Cut out the moral law. Cast it away. Or make the moral law itself subject to self-centered sinners. And then you have corporate sin. Sinners have joined hand in hand. We throw God out, and we're all going to do as we please. And ain't nobody going to stop us because we all agree. Hold hands. Join together. Sinners have joined hand in hand. Psalm 2, verse 2 and 3, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You understand?
Yeah.
See? Now, this is the cycle of sin. From the individual to the whole. We're going to do this together.
Yep.
We're going to band together.
Yep.
And God's not going to stop us.
Right.
And nobody else is going to stop us.
Right.
Corporate sin brings death to a church.
Yep.
To a nation. And eventually to the whole human race on this earth.
Yep.
That's what it is. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's to an individual, that's to a nation, to a church, to any group of people, to the whole human race as well. The whole thing dies. Not just the individuals in it. The whole thing dies and ceases to exist. A nation. A mighty empire. Where's Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon? Where is it? It is gone. Where's the Roman Empire? It's gone. On and on. We could go for 6,000 years. There were empires that we don't even know about because they're gone and erased from history. Buried in the sands and the jungles of this earth and nobody even knows they were there. Why do you think they fell? Have you ever read any history, done some research into this matter? You know, the Indians, the Mayas down there, and the Aztecs. What about Pompeii, Italy, where the volcano blew up and buried them? That's one of the most filth. They just keep digging in that. And you know what they find? The more they dig, the more filth they find.
Yes.
Pornography. They were a bunch of sodomites. And a volcano blew up and buried him. Imagine that.
Right.
Sodom and Gomorrah. The world in Noah's day. All the same. That's why Jesus could easily say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The whole world is going to be wicked. The whole world is going to be joined hands together against God and His people. And against righteousness. Now the end of that thing is brought about when the cancer has spread through the whole thing and the whole thing is leavened. You hear me?
Yep.
A nation or any other group of people They may join hand in hand, and they may make an agreement with hell and death. And they may take counsel together, like these kings of the earth and the rulers did in Psalm 2. But their end will be sure. Because James chapter 1 verse 15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Psalm 9 verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's talking about corporate sin. You see that?
Yep.
Now, Psalm 7, verse 11 through 16. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. David wrote this, by the way. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. Are you listening? God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword, for he hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Hold it. Now, if sinners really understood that's true, that when they're sinning and hardening their neck and they will not repent and they turn away from the Word of God, if they really knew that God had his bow drawn back and the instruments of their death, the bullet, the knife, the machete, the guillotine, whatever it is, are already prepared. If they knew that what they're going to die by is all set, and God's just ready to flip the switch, pull the trigger, let go of the string, you think it'd change their mind? Well, if they believed, if they knew, yeah. They don't believe. They're defiant. But that's what the Bible says here. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, he hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit, it's talking about the wicked here, that God's angry with every day. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. That's this right here. So that's what God says is going to happen to the wicked. This is the way the cycle works. The individual sins, then there's corporate sin, they join together, and then there's judgment. They dig a pit, and they fall in it themselves. Their own sin is their judgment. It brings death and destruction upon them. So this is when evil becomes the judgment of God. That's when it happens. It's when, you know, most people have this notion that God's judgment on sin involves a supernatural intervention from God to destroy the sinner or sinners. Well, kind of put that parallel with this. Sin, well, let me just go ahead and say what I've got written down here. God has pronounced his judgment on sin already. Sin, when it is finished, bringing forth death. The wages of sin is death. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Sin brings death. You turn away from God and you despise his commandments and you reject his commandments, you're going to die because of it.
Right.
So God's already pronounced the judgment upon it. We know we as individuals will die. A church will die. A nation will die. This whole human race is going to die because of sin. Of their sin together. Because they join together in it. Now, judgment, you know, God's pronounced judgment on sin already, so it'll automatically happen without his particular intervention. If he just leaves it alone, this world's going to just fall in on itself.
That's right.
Man's going to destroy himself if God just keeps his hands off and don't say anything. Man's going to destroy himself. That's judgment. That's the death that God promised. His judgment will come without God's intervention. The wicked fall into their own pit. We just read it there. Sin is not God's judgment. Sin's not God's judgment. The end of sin is God's judgment. Sin, it starts in pleasure, but it ends in death. A lot of poison is sweet. going in.
That's right.
But it brings forth death. Sin starts as a pleasure ride and ends with a wreck. It starts with individuals ignoring and despising and disobeying the moral law of God. And it ends when they join themselves together in it. A church has Ichabod written over it. When the worldly, loose-living members vote out a godly pastor who's trying to lead them toward holiness.
Yes,
I've heard preachers say that before. Some preacher told me that here not too long ago. About some church that we know about, and he said, you know, when they voted him out, he said that was the end of the church.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
Yes.
Yes, sir. It ain't because of him. It's because they held hands together against God and against His anointed, against righteousness.
Right.
And said, we want to do it our way.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a bunch of people who've already been sinning individually, and they don't want nobody telling them that it's wrong.
That's right.
That's how it works.
Right. Yep.
It always works that way.
Yep.
We'll not have this. That's why they crucified the Lord. That's why they killed the prophets.
Yep.
That were before him. Always the same reason. The prophets came telling the people they better repent. And they said, we ain't going to listen to this. And so God judged them. Now, a nation is doomed the moment that its people start agreeing with removing God and His commandments from the education of their children. And when godly morality and civil law cease to be the same thing, that nation is doomed.
Yep.
They've turned away from God.
Right.
They have forgotten God, and they will be turned into hell.
Yep.
That's what the Bible says. And that's right.
Yes.
Civil law and moral law ought to be the same thing.
That's right.
Yes.
But they say, you know what the thing is now? They say you can't legislate morality. What a dumb, foolish, ignorant thing to say by somebody with a doctor's degree or somebody that's been educated in some Philistine college. Good night.
Yes.
What do you mean? All law is about morality.
Yes.
You can't legislate morality. You mean we can't legislate your morality.
Right.
That's what you mean.
Yes,
you want to legislate your morality, but you don't want anybody else legislating God's morality.
Yes, that's right.
You've joined hands with a bunch of other sinners against the Lord and against His anointed and saying we're going to cast His cords from us. We're not going to have it. So an individual is doomed when he rejects God completely and sells himself to do evil. There's a thing I was thinking about this in people. You know, there's people, now listen to me. There's people who are just, they're not all the way into sin. You can call them sinners because they haven't repented, they haven't come to God, but they got a conscience that condemns them. And they know they're wrong. And they know they ought to be doing different. And they know they ought to be right with God. And they'll go so far, but they won't go that far. But then there's a point where they just throw off everything. And they'll do anything.
Yep, that's right.
They'll, and without any thought. I mean,
you
know, there's verses in here that talk about it. I'm going to read some scripture here in just a second. But when the conscience is seared and all moral boundaries are crossed, you know, then the judgment of sin, erased. When all moral boundaries are erased, the judgment of sin is coming to that individual. That's the kind of people we've seen in our life. We watch them and we think, man, they're heading down the wrong road. But there comes a point where we just live in fear because we know they're gonna die. They're gonna die. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 37:38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. Transgressors shall be destroyed together. That's corporate.
Yep.
That's when the judgment is on the nation, on the church,
right,
on the whole human race. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. All right, now I'm going to read a little bit of a passage here in 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to start reading in verse 9, read through 17. But what I've said already, you just listen to this and see if it ain't exactly what I've been preaching to you tonight. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Where does it start?
In the individual.
Yep. Where does cancer start? In a secret place somewhere where nobody knows.
Yep.
They did in secret. That's what they did. Secretly, those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built their high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Well, that's individual. They all had their own place. They all had their own thing going. They all had their own religion and their own opinions and their own morals and their own way of worshiping. And there they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent unto you by my servants the prophets. He said, daily, daily I sent to you. Daily I spoke to you by the prophets, and you wouldn't hear, you wouldn't hear, you wouldn't hear. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks. You see? Now it's not individual, it's all of them together. They've joined together now, saying, we ain't going to do this. We ain't going to do that. We agree. And we think you're wrong. Still not blessed. Hang on a minute. I got to find my place. I can't hardly see here. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like unto the necks of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes. They didn't believe. They wouldn't hear. They hardened their necks. They rejected his statutes, and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimony which he had testified against him, and they followed vanity, and became vain. And went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images. What have we done? What has our country done? We've left all the commandments of the Lord our God. And we got other things now. As a nation, we got other things. I'm not talking about God's people, the remnant that's still here, that's around, that ain't a partaker of this stuff, that don't agree with this stuff, don't go along with it. But there are few. There are few. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshiped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. I mean, they just did about as much as they could do against God. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantment and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You see, they went way beyond.
Yep.
They didn't just sneak around and do a little sin. They got together in it and then they just sold themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to do this. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're all in. Sold themselves. Do evil. And their end came soon after that. You read on through that chapter in the next. God delivered them into Babylon. They come up from Babylon. I mean, raised everything to the ground, killed most of them, and carried the rest of them off. And there was no Israel anymore. There was no Jerusalem anymore. There was no temple anymore. It's all gone. It ceased because of their corporate sin. See, we've had a lot of we have a hard time understanding through the years. Not if you get it. If you get this, it'll help you to understand how that you can look back in history and of our country, and you can go back 60, 70, 80 years, and you'll hear these old timers say, "Well, there's nothing new under the sun. There was sodomite sin, and there was so and so. You don't know what all was going." Yeah, but it wasn't like it is now. Everybody wasn't holding hands with them.
Nope.
Protecting them. Defending them. Agreeing with them. Sympathizing with them. And all the other sins. You know, in my lifetime, it's went from divorce being a bad thing to it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just normal. Yeah. It's went from adultery and sodomites and stuff like that being absolutely no to if you are against them, if you speak against them like I'm doing right now, buddy, you are risking. I mean, it's not going to be long. So you're going to be put in jail or put to death for saying anything against them.
That's right.
Well, I'm not holding hands with them people.
No,
I don't know why anybody that claims to be a Christian would hold hands with the world.
That's right.
When they're all holding hands against God and against everything that's right.
Yep.
If we want to know when God's judgment on sin is about to happen, just watch for the unity of sinners against God and righteousness. Just watch that. When they all get together and they've got one cause, and that is to be against God and against righteousness and against His people.
Yep.
You know judgment is at hand. When the Supreme Court and the Congress and the President and all the judges across the land and all the celebrities and the teachers in the schools and the common people support sodomy and abortion and every evil thing,
yes,
and the people keep voting them in,
yes,
destruction is not far off.
That's right.
We've sold ourselves. Yes. Our country has. So I'm not going to be a part of that.
Right. No.
I'm distancing myself from that. I'm not going to hold hands with them. I'm not going to have anything to do with them.
Right. Right.
When they all join hand in hand against God and against righteousness, they will hate His people also.
Sure.
It has to be. They cannot love us and hate our God.
Right.
They can't love us and hate our righteousness.
Right.
They'll hate it. They can't love us if we represent God, who they hate and who they've armed themselves against. I mean, you are their enemy. You got that?
That's right.
They count you as their enemy if you're going to stand for what's right and for God and the Word of God.
That's right.
This is the time we're living in. When they reach out their wicked hands against God's righteous people, that's when God will move to destroy them. So prepare yourselves. Remember, I told you that.
Right. Yep.
Just watch for the days ahead, you young people. I mean, I may be gone by the time it happens, but you watch and see if that ain't the truth.
Yep.
They lift up their hands against God's anointed, and that's when they... Psalm 92, verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2. Psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. You know, the grass out here is growing, and it's slowed down a little bit, but we've had a lot of rain, and that grass grows. Well, what's fixing to happen to it as soon as it grows? It grows fast, but what does that make happen to it faster? It's going to get cut down faster.
That's right.
Unless you're lazy and don't mow your grass. Elizabeth, she flinched when I said that. Oh, my goodness. No, but I mean, you understand. That's what the verse just before we said. When the wicked spring up as the grass, when they spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Soon going to be cut down.
Right.
Just take comfort and rejoice in the fact that their part in the cycle is short.
That's right.
The wicked, the time of the wicked is short. It's not long.
Amen.
I mean, if sin triumphed, I mean, if there were no God's people, and if sin didn't have the judgment that God has stamped on it forever, it'd have been gone a long time ago. Sin would have triumphed forever. The good guys would have always lost. The bad guys would always win. But that's not the way it works, is it?
No.
Now what triumphs? Righteousness. Sin and sinners destroy themselves. The way of the wicked is it's death. Yeah. It's self-destruction. Wickedness is self-destructive. By its very nature, it destroys itself. And then there can be a new beginning. What's left after the fire goes out and, you know, after the wind stops and the storm's over, what's left? Well, the wicked are destroyed. What was left when the floods abated? Noah and his family.
Exactly.
Ain't that wonderful?
Yes.
Noah got off of that ark in a world that was empty of sinners. And all their noise and all their filth and all of their, I mean, a quiet, peaceful world. And with a preacher of righteousness. Well, that was 4,000 years ago, and look what's happened again. What's happened? What's the cycle? Started out good. But now it's turned into everybody holding hands against God again.
Right.
So when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Psalm 37, verse 35 and 36. I'm going to read this and I'll be done. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Well, I've lived long enough to see that too. I've seen some high and mighty people that are gone. And forgotten. They were the kingpin for just a little while. Now they're gone. That's the way it works. God never ceases. God never fails. God never goes away. Neither do God's people. Better be on the right side. Better stand with God's people and not with this world that's standing against God.
Amen.
Joined together. Like they're going to do something. When Jesus comes in the real apocalypse, what's going to be the situation? Well, the Antichrist is going to have all the kings of the world, the armies of the world, I mean, with their weapons aimed. They're going to fight him. How big a fight is that going to be?
Yeah, right.
Ain't going to be no fight. It's just going to be their destruction. Instantly. He's going to burn them up. They don't have a chance. But they think they do because there's so many of them. Don't go with a multitude
right.
And do evil. Don't agree with people about sin. Don't be looking for somebody to agree with you about your sin. Amen.
Right.
Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God and for the truth we've looked at here tonight. Please help us to keep this in our understanding, Lord, and put it with what we've already got so that we can see the big picture and so we can also see day by day how we're walking so that we don't get off of the right path and make a wrong turn, so we don't make wrong associations and wrong alliances with this world and end up on their side. Oh my, Lord, help us to be conscious of Thee and how You look at us and our attitude toward the world and these enemies of God. Lord, help us to be separate in these days and help us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Lord, help us to get home safely. Please work in our hearts the rest of the week. Help us to be a testimony to somebody else and an influence that will bring them to a knowledge of Thee. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the blessings You give us. In Jesus' name, amen.